Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Nun Zayin. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin the sixth Perek today, Perek Bame Isha. The focus of this Perek will be on the issue of the Isser Hoitzah, of carrying things from a private domain into a public domain. In this case, we'll be focusing on ornaments or different types of jewelry and accessories that a woman might be wearing. What things is she permitted to be wearing and what things not when it comes to going from a private domain into a public one? The Mishnah. Vame isho yoitza uvama eno yoitza. With which things can she go out, and with which things not? The Rashi at the top, Ame Isha Yotza, Davi Tachshit. It would be considered a type of decoration, or jewelry, or ornament. Velo Masui, and hence it's not a burden, it's not an item that she's merely carrying or transporting. Ve'ika, Davi Tachshit. There are some items that are a Tachshit, but v'gozur bei rabbonan, the rabbonan nevertheless imposed a restriction. Dilma shafu machvil chaverta chashivuso. She might slip it off and show it to her friend, an item, an article of jewelry that is of particular significance. V'dilma osasui arvamos, and in doing so, she might end up carrying it for amos in the public thoroughfare, so that simply by categorizing something as a tachshit doesn't mean it's automatically going to be allowed. Let us now continue in the Mishnah. Lo teitze isha, lo bechute tzemer, velo bechute pishton, velo biritzuois, sheberoisha. We have noted, as you can see, a numbering system of aleph, beis, and gimel, and then over the word sheberoisha we have aleph through gimel. That indicates, and it's a point that will be made in the Gemara, that the chute tsemer, which are wool strings, and chute pishtan are linen strings, and ritsuas are straps, all of these are present in the woman's hair. She braids her hair together with these things. So she's not to go out with these things, and as far as why, so we'll wait and see. Below sitboil bohen a chitra pain. And let us say have a woman that's in fact wearing these things, regardless of Shabbos, any day of the week, and it's time for her to immerse herself in the mikveh. Mikveh immersion demands that the water comes in direct contact with the person's body. Something that blocks that contact is called a chatzitza. We can refer to it as an interposition. So that these things, unless shitarape means loosens them, unless she loosens them, they would constitute a chatzitza. Therefore, with regard to tevila, she should not be toivel with them while she's wearing them. Unless, of course, she loosens them so as to allow the water to get directly onto her hair and body. Veloi betoy tefes, another item that she's not to go into the Rishus Rabim with, is a totefes. You'll notice, if you are looking at Rashi from time to time, that on many of these, Rashi says they will be explained in the Gemara. And we should also mention at the outset, as we've done on numerous occasions in this Masichta, that there are many items that demand a translation. And Rashi translates them into Old French, his language. The feeling being that that's the only way or the best way to communicate what they are. Now, since we are not conversant in Old French, we're at times left in a bit of a bind as to how to deal with explaining these items. So we will try our best, but we are going to mention this as a disclaimer at the outset, that some of the items won't be sufficiently translated, but we're trying to, as we've mentioned in the past, extract a principle from our studies. So the woman is told, we're told here, she doesn't go out with a totefes, velo besarvitin, bisman she'enon tfurin. This is true, it's that there's a prohibition as long as they are not sewn together to her svacha, which is a type of hair net that she wears under her hat. But if the totefes or the sarvitin are sewn to the svacha, this hair net, then she can wear these things outside. V'lo b'kovul l'rishus harabim. And she cannot wear the kovul into the rishus harabim. And Rashi points out, by the fact that it says, and not with a kovul to rishus harabim, the items mentioned earlier would be prohibited even in a chotzer, even in an enclosed private domain. And that's a significant difference between the kovel, whose restriction is only to wear it directly out into the Rishus HaRabim, but in a chotzer it would be okay. Rashi points out that the Chazal did not forbid all tachshitim, otherwise she would be mizgana al baila, she would be unfitting or undesirable to her husband. So that we leave room for some kinds of cosmetics or jewelry for the woman to wear, as long as she remains in the private domain. The Mishnah continues, Velo be'ir shelzov. The ir shelzov is a name of it's a type of an article of jewelry. Velo be'katla, velo be'nezomim, velo be'tabas she'en ole achosim. She is not to wear a katla, another type of thing. The Gemara will explain it. And not nizomim. Nizomim are nose rings. And not a tabas, shein olechosim, a ring that doesn't have a seal on it. V'lo b'machat she'eino nekuva. Nor shall she adorn herself with a needle that has no hole in it. V'im yotzisa eino chayeves chatos. But if she did wear these things and went into the Rishus HaRabim, she is not chayav a sin offering because she hasn't committed a Torah level violation. All that has been violated is a rabbinic restriction, but since they are tachshitim, then they don't constitute a masui, a burden, and therefore, you know, from a Torah standpoint, she is okay. The Gemara asks, Tavila man dekar shmo. The Mishnah mentioned, and you can see that we've dashed, underline it, that she shouldn't immerse herself in a mikveh unless she loosens these things. In order to, if you have any questions about where this was mentioned, just take advantage of little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you can align it with the arrow further up, and you'll see opposite that line, opposite the arrow on the line, the Tevila is mentioned. It says titbol, below titbol, bohen. So why, though, in discussing Hilchus Shabbos, which is the topic of our Mishnah, is a din regarding immersion, tevila, mentioned? Seems to be out of character, unrelated. The Gemara answers they're very related, and you'll see through the long answer how this is explained. The long answer is a tuff that you can see encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line indicating that all of these lines constitute the answer to this particular question. Before we go further, we have a topic heading in the margin under the Nosei heading. The Nosei is a topic. And we've written, Isha ein lotzeis b'chutin b'rutzus b'sarosel b'shabbos. A woman should not go out wearing these things, the strings and straps in her hair. Why not? Shemo yizdamein tevila. She might need to immerse herself, because she knows she can't immerse herself with these things on, she might, in her concentration on the tevila, might forget herself and take them off, and end up carrying these items for amas in the rishus rabbim. And that is what the Gemara is going to explain as to why the issue of immersion is mentioned here in a Mishnah dealing with Hilchus Shabbos. The Gemara. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Omar Rabo Bar Avua Matam Ko Omar. The mention of Tevila in this Mishnah is mentioned as a reason given for why she is not to wear these items, the chutin and the rutsuos shebesaira, in her hair. Matam lo teitzi isha lo bechutei tzemer velo bechutei pishton. Why is it that she should not go out with these woolen or linen strings in her hair? Mitnei she'omru chachomim, because the chachomim said, the rabbi said, on a weekday, she shouldn't immerse herself until she loosens them, so as to prevent the chatzitza problem. And since that's the case, that during a weekday, she shouldn't immerse herself until she loosens them, b'shabbos lo teitzei, dilmo misrami lo tvila shel mitzvah v'shario lehu. Likewise, on Shabbos, she should not go out wearing these things because she might just need to immerse herself a tevila shel mitzvah. That's a tevila that a woman encounters at the end of a tumah period, and she is allowed to, of course, immerse herself for that purpose on Shabbos. But and she'll end up loosening these strings from her hair. V'asasinu arba amos b'shus rabim. And if they're already loosened and not part of the braided hair, then in effect she's carrying it out into the Rishus HaRabim, or carrying them for Amos in a Rishus HaRabim, in anticipation of her getting to the mikveh, and that is a Shabbos violation. So you can see that the issue of the tevila is a reason why not to wear these things on Shabbos. Bomine Rav Kano Me Rav. Tichi Chalilto Mai. Rav Kana asks a question of Rav. What is the din regarding the Tichi Chalilto? Glancing at the Rashi, Rashi says Tichi Chalilto Sharshurois Shochutin Chalulois Vagulos. It's a type of chain work of strings that are round and hollow. Can she braid her hair with these? Omarle, orig koamris. So Rav says, oh, you're talking about something that's woven. Kol shu orig lo gozru. Anything that's woven, the rabbis didn't impose their restriction, and that's because things that are woven cannot be fastened, or they don't adhere tightly to one's hair, and therefore water will get in under this tichi chalilt and tut to her hair directly, posing no chatzitza problem. Itmar Nami, Omar Rav Huna Braid Rav Yeshua, Kol Shu Orig Lo Gozru. Anything that is Orig, that's woven, is not part of the Gzera of the Rabbonan that we've been dealing with, the rabbinic restriction. Ika Di Amri, another presentation of Rav Huna Braid Rav Yeshua is Omar Rav Huna Braid Rav Yeshua, Chazino La'achvasi Delo Kapton Alaihu. I noticed my sisters, when they needed to immerse themselves, or when they were bathing, they weren't concerned by the fact that these things were still on their hair. So since they left them on their hair while they were bathing, it's a sign that they will successfully wash themselves thoroughly even with these things on their hair. In other words, the water will get to wherever it has to get. And therefore, for immersion in a mikveh, it's a sign that they don't have to loosen them, and you could go out with them on Shabbos. So we have two versions of Rav Huna here. My ika bein hach lishna lahach uvein hach lishna. What's the difference between the statement of anything that's woven was not part of the gzera, or by saying that women are not makbid, are not upset or concerned with their presence on them? Iko binayhu tadde tanifon. A point of difference would be if this orig thing is itself dirty. Lahach nisha do'amar koshu orig lo gozru, haninami orug. According to the first lashon that says anything that's woven, the rabbis didn't impose their gzera. Well, these are woven. Okay, they might be dirty, but they're woven, and hence they don't form a tight adherence to the hair, and there is no problem. And even if they're dirty, she could wear them out on Shabbos. Ulahach lishna the amris mishum kepeda. However, according to the version, the second version that said that the sisters of Rav Huna were not makbid, weren't upset with them being on their head, even while they're bathing, came on the tanifa, since they are dirty, mikbad kapta olayu, they will be upset and concerned with them on them while entering the water, and that would be reason for them taking it off before going into the mikveh. So if you are going to emphasize the second version of Rav Huna, in the event that the tichi chalilta are dirty, even though they're orig, the woman would still not be allowed to wear it into the Rosh Hashanah because of the whole explanation we gave before. She might need to go to the mikveh and end up, because they're dirty, end up taking them off and carrying them arba amos in the Rosh Hashanah. As we continue in the Gemara, you'll notice a new geometric form, a diamond with a colored in tip. These are explained under our Mivneh heading in the margin. You'll see a diamond featured, and we've written Chutzitzin and slash Ein Chutzitzin. In this source, you'll see both expressions with this marking. Lahavlit ha-hevdel, the point of this marking is to accentuate the difference Bein Tanakama l'Rabbi Yehuda, between these two opinions, that of the Tanakhama, the first Tanaic opinion, who is nameless, and Rabbi Huda, Be'inyin Chomarim Shonim Legabi Chatzitz, regarding different materials and their effects on serving as a Chatzitza. The Gemara. Tanan Hossam. The Mishnah in Maseches Mikvois says, the Mishnah, you could see it's a Tanaic source as it appears in a frame, V'elu Chotitzin Be'odam. The following could serve as a chatzitz, an interposition on a person. Chute tsemer, v'chute pishton, wool strings, linen strings, v'horotsuos, sheboroshe habonos, and straps in the heads, worn on the heads of women. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shel tsemer v'shel se'or ein chutzitzin, mipnei shamayim boyin bohem. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says that wool and something made of hairs. Let's just note that the Tanakhama did not mention Seor. We'll need that information for later on. They are not a chatzitza problem because water does enter them. Omar Rav Huna. V'chulon b'roshe habonos shoninu. The items mentioned, the chute tzemer, the chute pishton, the ritzos, all of them are worn in the women's hair, and not just the ritzuos, because when you read the Mishnah on a superficial basis, you might associate Rosh Habonos with ritzuos. So Rav Huna says that all of them are all of these items are worn in their hair, and the Gemara asks now, and the question is presented here as a long question. And we've indicated that with a kuf, which is a kushya, which is encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the more text, and a descending vertical dashed line, indicating that all of these lines form the question. Maskiflo Rav Yosef, limute mai. That which Rav Huna says, that chutin are also in the hair of women, serving, making a, creating a chatzitza. What is Rav Huna coming to exclude? In other words, he's saying that these are a chatzitza problem in the hair, but something else is not. And as we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice a volcano shape, or a trapezoid. This is explained under our Nosei Mivneh heading. What we'll be doing now is Shlavim behesber dvorav shel Rav Huna, stages in trying to understand what Rav Huna meant, v'kulon b'roshe habonos ma bo l'muti. What is he coming to exclude? So let us continue in the Gemara. I lema limute de tzavor. If his statement that all of these are a problem in their hair He's coming to exclude them as being a problem if they would be worn on their necks. Let's say a woman had tied a chutin around their necks. Are you saying that that would not be a chatzitza? Udumai means, what material? In other words, so far we're focusing on, we have location, and now we have to ask what material. Before we go further in developing this whole idea, let's just note we've made a little chart on the margin. There are materials that are soft and materials that are called hard. When dealing with the issue of chatzitza, the closer the items adhere to one another, the greater the problem. We can safely say that the softer the material, the greater chance it's going to cause a chatzitza problem, in that it's going to cling or adhere more firmly than something that is more rigid. So, in terms of location, we'll be talking about two locations, hair and neck. Hair, in our discussion, is considered kosher. Neck is skin, flesh. That's considered rach, soft. As far as materials are concerned, we'll talk about tzemer and we'll talk about pishtan. Tzemer is wool, is soft. Pishtan, flax or linen, is called kosher. That's by way of overview. So now, Rav Huna mentioned that all of the items that were featured above, the chute, tzemer, pishtan, ritzuos, are a problem in their hair. Rav Yosef wants to know, well, so where is there no chatzitza problem? And our first stage is saying, well, ilame lumute de tzavor, if you're saying that he's coming to exclude the neck as being no problem, udamai, the Gemara asks, well, what material? Ilame lumute de tzemer, if you think that he's trying to say that tzemer strings around the neck would not be a chatzitza, well, that can't be. Hashto rach al gabi koshe chotzitz. Now we know already that rach, tzemer, the wool, on hair, is a chatzitza. That's where you have soft on hard is a chatzitza. Rach, agabi, rach, mibaya. If something soft on something soft, all the more so will that will be a chatzitza problem. And what's the example of rach, agabi, rach? The wool on the neck. So what is Rav Huna trying to exclude from chatzitza problem? V'ela limute dechute pishtan. Well, maybe he's trying to say that linen strings on the neck would not be a problem. Well, that is two now. That is a question. How could that be? Hashto koshe agabi koshe chotzeitz. Mind you, pishtan, the linen strings on hair, they're both koshe. They're both, and those are variables that would make it more favorable for being worn in a mikveh situation, and yet they cannot be worn, yet chotzeitz. Kosha agabi rach mibaya, where you have only one favorable element, certainly will be a problem, where kosha is the pishtan in this case, on the flesh of the neck, certainly will be a problem. Once again, if kosha agabi kosha is a problem, so kosha agabi rach certainly will be a problem. A problem, we mean a chatzitza problem. So, once again, what was Rav Huna's intent? Ela Omar Rav Yosef. Here, Rav Yosef himself, he offers the alternative to Rav Huna. Hainu Taimo de Rav Huna. He explains why only Seor is a chatzitza problem on the hair. Only in the hair is there a chatzitza problem, and not on the neck. Even if you're dealing with wool strings on the neck, the fishein isha chonekes it's atzma. A woman isn't going to strangle herself. In other words, if she's wearing some kind of a wool which is soft on the neck, which is true also basar which is soft, if she wears this around her neck, she's going to wear it in a loose fitting fashion. Hence, there won't be a chatzitza problem. And in that spirit that Rav Huna says, these strings pose a chatzitza problem only in the hair, where she might attach them firmly, preventing water from entering. but not when it comes to wearing it around her neck. Esve Abaye. Abaye raises an objection. And we're working with the Svora, the analysis of Ein Isha Chonekes Es Atzma. Now, bearing that in mind, Abaye asks, Habonos Yoyseis Bechutin Sheb Oznehen, girls can, or women can wear strings that are inserted in their ears. This is a reference to women that pierced their ears, and so as to make sure the hole doesn't close, so they would insert a string in the hole. So that is something that she could wear outside. Apollo bechavokin shibitzavorehen, but she can't wear these things. Chavokin shibitzavorehen. We'll just leave it as that without translating it. Rashi offers a French word for this, but we'll explain it a little bit more in a moment. So we have something here that she cannot wear around her neck. V'amris ein isha choynekes atzma, if you'll say that a woman wouldn't strangle herself, and therefore that's a reason for allowing, because there's no chatzitza problem, chavokin shebetzavoren amaylo, why do you say that she cannot go out on Shabbos with this chavokin around her neck? It's not going to be a chatzitza problem, so there's no fear of her taking it out of her, taking it off before she goes and end up carrying it. So the Gemara answers, Omar Ravina. We continue on the top of Omid Beis. Hocha bekakla askinan. The chavokin mentioned here is the kakla. The isha chonekes es atzmo denicholo shetiroeh kebalas boser. This is, we'll say, an exception to the rule that Rav Yosef gave us, and that is that in general, items that a woman wears around her neck, she will wear them loose-fitting, but as opposed to this case, the chavokin, which is also called the kakla, Rashi has an elaborate explanation as to what this is, but for our purposes, we will explain it's a essentially, what she's wearing around her neck is a wide strap, as opposed to a thin string. A thin string would strangle a person. If you wear it tightly, it's at the very least uncomfortable, if not dangerous. But a wide strap is something that a woman will wear in a somewhat tight-fitting fashion, because what this does is it creates an impression, I guess it produces a double chin on the woman, probably pushing up a lot of neck skin and neck fat onto her face, making her creating the impression that she's corpulent. And at the time of the Gemara, at least, a corpulent, obese woman was something that was found to be attractive, and she would want to look like that, and therefore she would wear this kakla in a tight fitting fashion. And that's what is referred to in the source of the chavokin. But that is the problem with regard to tefillah. It would be a chatzitza, and she would take it off before she there's a fear that if she had a tefillah mitzvah to do on Friday, or on, that's not Friday night, on Shabbos, she would take it off before getting to the mikveh, and that is what we were fearing. But otherwise, when it comes to things that would otherwise strangle the woman, like thin strings, she can wear those around her neck because she won't wear them in a tight-fitting fashion. We continue in the Gemara. Rav Yehuda Omer, Shel Tzemer v'Shel Seor Ein Choitzitzin Mipnei Shamayim Boyin Bohen. If you have any trouble finding where this quote comes from, we've provided an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can find the parallel arrow back on Omid Aleph, about a quarter or a third of the way up from the bottom. You'll see it comes from that source where we had diamonds in it. So Rav Yehuda says that the wool strings and se'or hair material strings are not a chatzitza because water enters. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's just note the topic heading and structural note before we go further. The topic heading, the Nosei, reads, Chutei Seyar Lo Chotzitzin. Strings made of hair do not form a chatzitza. And the Mivneh, we have a structural note which features diamonds. These are Shnei Lishonos B'divrei Shmuel B'inyon Shitos HaChachomim Rabbi Yehuda L'gabi Chutei Seyar Im Chotzitzin. We're going to be presenting two versions of Shmuel. Shmuel is going to feature the opinions, or explain or relate to the opinions of the Chachomim and Rebbe Yehuda regarding Chutei Seyar. Are they a Chatzitza problem? So the Gemara. Omar of Yosef, Omar of Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. Halocha k'Rebbe Yehuda b'Chutei Seyar. The Halocha will follow Rebbe Yehuda's opinion when it comes to the issue of the Chutei Seyar. If you'll recall, when we learned the Tanaic source on Aleph, we mentioned that Chutei Seyar was introduced by Rebbe Yehuda. The Tanakhama really made no mention of it. In general, when you're learning Gemara, the term halacha, when you see that word, we've dashed underline it here, when you see that word, it indicates that there is a controversy and the Gemara is deciding the issue in favor of one opinion over the other. Can it be said, though, that the matter of Chutei Seyar was part of a controversy, that I need to have it decided? In fact, no. The issue of Chutei Seyar wasn't part of a controversy. And if that's the case, so why does Shmuel state his point by using the word halacha, which, as we said, is a word indicating a decision in favor of one opinion over another? The question is presented here in a long question fashion. We have a kuf encircled to immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line indicating the length of this question. Omar le Abaye, halacha michlal depliki. The use of the word halacha indicates there is a machlokes. But the Tanakhama didn't argue on the matter of Chutei Seyar. The chitema, you might try to say that, of course, the Tanakhama mentioned it in... Maybe he didn't, it's not spelled out, but Ilav Dishaminon Mitanakama Da'iri Bechutei Seyar, if not for the fact that Rabbi Yehuda must have heard the Tanakama forbid the Chutei Seyar, Ihu Nami Lohava Mairi. Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't have spoken up to mention that they are allowed. So if you want to say that, so then okay, then there would be a machlokas, and Rabbi Yehuda simply reflects by his leniency with regard to the Chutei Seyar, he is indicating that the Tanakhama would have argued. Not so, though. V'dilma k'shem k'amar lo. Maybe all Rabbi Yehuda was trying to do was he cited Chutei Seyar in a method of trying to convince the Rabbanan to agree with him regarding the Chutei Tzemer. Thusly, Kihechi demodisu li b'chutei seyar, just like you agree with me regarding chutei seyar that they are not a chatzitza, odu li nami b'chutei tzemer, concede to me likewise with regard to the chutei tzemer. So that might be what was motivating Rabbi Yehuda to mention the chutei seyar, not because the Chachomim, the Tanakhama, disagrees at whatsoever. And if that be the case, so then we would go back to the diamond, where right after Shmuel's name, we dashed on the line the word halacha would still be inappropriate. Ela moidim itmar. Rather, when Shmuel makes reference to the Chutei Seyar, he is in fact not using the word halacha, but rather moidim, as follows. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Shmuel, Moidim Chachomim Rabbi Yehuda B'chutei Seyar. And you can see we've dashed on the line Moidim, so you can contrast this with the halacha word above, that the Chachomim concede to Rabbi Yehuda with regard to the Chutei Seyar. True, they may argue regarding the Chutei Tzemer, the wool strings braided into the women's hair as a chatzitza problem, but not with regard to the Chutei Seyar. There's no problem. Tanyo Nami Hochi, a Tanaic source, supports this approach. Chutei Tzemer Chotzitzin. Chutei Seyar Ein Chotzitzin. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, shel tzemer v'shel seor ein chotzitzin. If you focus on the way we've dashed underline phrases in this source, you'll notice seor ein chotzitzin is dashed underline with regard to the Tanakhama and with regard to Rabbi Yehuda, indicating there is no machlokis regarding the chutei seor. The continuation of the Gemara presents us with a long point, and that's indicated by the Nun you can see encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. Omer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Masnisin Nami Daiko. Careful reading of the Mishnah will bear this point out as well. De Kotoni. This is a Mishnah on Daf Samach Dalet Amid Beis. In other words, it's a continuation of our Mishnayos. And it says, Yoitza Isha Bechute Seor, Bein Mishela, Bein Mishel Chaverta. A woman is allowed to wear these hair strings braided in her hair, whether it's her own, whether it's made of her own hair or hair of some other woman that was used for making these strings. Moni, who is the author of this Mishnah? Ilem or Rabbi Yehuda. If you were to think that it's Rabbi Yehuda, no, it wouldn't be necessary for him to say this. Afilu chutei tzemer nami. Rabbi Yehuda goes further. He says even chutei tzemer are allowed to be worn as they don't pose a chatzitza problem. Elolav rabbonon hi. This source is according to the rabbonon ushma mino, and we can therefore conclude b'chutei seor lo pligi. Shma mino. This is in fact conclusive that with regard to the hair strings, the strings made of hair, there is no machlokas. Not only does Rabbi Yehuda allow it, but the Chachomim allow it as well, as that this Mishnah on Samach Dalet Amid Beis is authored by the Chachomim. Velo betotefes. Our Mishnah mentioned that a woman is not allowed to wear totefes on Shabbos. this is one of the items mentioned, that she should not wear this, because there's the fear that eventually she'll go out with it into the Rishus HaRabim, and if she does, she'll end up taking it off to show her friend. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a marking we want to note. It's a double underline that will appear, one of our series markings, and on the side, under our No Say Mivne heading, we've indicated these represent Shnei Pirushim B'mahi Totefes, two explanations as to what a Totefes is. So the Gemara asks, my Totefes, Omar Rav Yosef, Chumrusa de Katifta. It's a type of knot that is made for, Rashi calls refuos for medicinal purposes, but it's in order to block the ayin hara, the evil eye, from having its effects on a person. Omale Abaye, Teve Kekamiya Mumcha Vitishtri. Why should it be treated any differently than a provenly effective amulet that is allowed to be worn? Elo Omar Rav Yehuda Mishmei Abaye. So another version or another explanation is Apuzaini, that the Totefes is Apuzaini. Apuzaini is a type of headplate, some type of, if you're familiar with the term tzitz, from the context of the Kohen Gadol, who had a headplate with the name of Hashem on it. Here is a type of an article of jewelry that is worn by women. Tanyo Nami Hochi. We have a Tanaic source that will bear this out, but we'll learn the source and then have to learn the Tosfos to see how this source bears this explanation out. The source says, Yoitza Isha b'svocha hamuzheves uvetoitefes uvesarvitin hakvuin bo. A woman is allowed to wear a golden type svocha. A svocha is a hair net that women would wear, and this source describes the permission granted for wearing this svocha muzheves, even if a totefes or sarvitin are attached to it. So Tosfos explains that if you are explaining totefes as a as we saw, the Abaye said, Apu Zainu, the tzitz, it's customary or it's common for a tzitz to be attached to the svacha. Rashi, rather the Tosfos in the upper part of the page, Tanya Nami Ochi, Midatoni Ubetotefes Vesarvitin Hakvuin Bo, Vederech Likvo Apu Zainu Vesvacha. It's common to attach a Apu Zaini to a svacha. But the other explanation, the explanation offered by Rav Yosef, that's not something that would have been attached to a svacha. So that's how this source bears out Abaye's explanation. The Gemara continues, A zo totefes ve'e zo sarvitin. What is each one of these things? Omar Rav Yavo, totefes hamukefes lo me'oizen lo'oizen. The totefes would surround or encompass her forehead from ear to ear. Sarvitin is hamagin lo ad lechoyeha. It's a type of head ornament that reaches her cheeks. Omar Ravuna, anios oisin oison shel mine tzivoinin. Poor women would make these ornaments out of different types of colored materials. Ashirus oisin oison shel kesef shel zohaven. Wealthier women would make them out of silver and of gold. Velo bekovel. We were taught in the Mishnah that a woman is not to go out with a kovel. Omar Rav Yanai, kovel ze'eni yodea mahu. Rav Yanai expresses his doubt as to what is a kovel, and he presents two possibilities. So we have them listed here. You can see Aleph. The next line, there's a squiggle underline, oidilmo. We squiggle underline expressions that indicate a transition from one side or one point to another. In this case, this is a transition from one side of his doubt to the other side. So he, Rav Yanai says, I'm not sure as to what a kovel is. E kavlo de avdotanan, avo kipo shel tzemer shapir domi. Is the kovel referred to here a kavlo de avdo? An eved is a slave. In this case, we'll talk about a maidservant. It's a type of a sign, a chosim, a seal, indicating that someone is a servant. Rashi explains here, about halfway down, Rashi says, Ikav l'avletan, chosim, a seal, sha'isin le'eved, b'ksuso, le'simin ho'ichochashu eved. It's a seal that's attached to one's clothing, a sign that he is a slave. U'bahu kotoni masnisin de'shipo lo'teitsebo, and it's regarding that. Possibly, that the Mishnah said that a maidservant should not wear this out on Shabbos. The Avol, in the Gemara, Avol Kippa Shel Tzemer, this is a type of head covering that's worn under the Svacha. We've mentioned the Svacha before, a type of hair net or some hair covering, and this Kippa Shel Tzemer is also called a kovel. And women would wear this. So, if the kovel explanation of the Mishnah is kovel kavla de avda, and that's what we are objecting to, but a kippah shel tzemer is not something we would object to, because in order for her to take that off to show her friend, she would have to be uncovering her hair, and a woman would not want to uncover her hair. She wouldn't want to uncover hair in public, so therefore there is a built-in deterrent to her for her from removing it, and therefore it would be okay for her to wear it. Oy Dilma, or possibly Kippah Shel Tzemer Tanan, the Mishnah is objecting to the woman wearing the Kippah Shel Tzemer, that she shouldn't wear it outside because of the fear that she'll somehow be able to slip it off from under the svacha without actually revealing her hair. But if we're going to object to the kippah shel tzemer, the kol shekein kavla d'avla, then the kavla d'avla certainly is going to present a problem. Omar Rebbe Avo. You'll notice we have a triangle and a number one here on this is explained on the side under our Nosei Mivne heading, where we feature the triangle. We've written Shnei Gishos. These are two approaches. Lahasbir Hodikotoni Lo Yetze Bekovel, that a woman should not go out with the kovel. Kovel Mahi. What is the kovel? Rabbi Avo, he is the first triangle. He'll tell you Kipa Shot Semer. It's that, and that means that he represents a stringent approach. If you're going to prohibit the Kipa Shot Semer, we said then certainly the Kavla of the Abda will be restricted. Shmuel, who is number two, who appears on the next Omid of Gomorrah, he says Kavla the Abda, Simen Shu Evet, that's what is restricted, but not the Kipa Shot Semer. Shmuel being more lenient. So let's continue now in the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Avo, Mistabro Kemad Omar Kipa Shot Semer. It's most likely that the Mishnah is in accordance with the approach that explains Kavla as Kipa Shot Semer. V'tanyo Nami Hochi. We have a Tanaic source supporting this. And once again, the Kipa Shot Semer is something worn under the Svocha head covering. The source begins, Yoitza Isha Bekovel Ube Istama Lechotzer. A woman can go out with a kovel and an istama. The Gemara later after this Tanaic source will define istama. So she can wear that into an enclosed area. Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer Af Lirishus Arabin. He's more lenient. She can wear them even into a public thoroughfare. Klal Omer Reb Shimon Elazar. Reb Shimon Elazar presents us with a rule. Kol shu lamato min asvocha, yoitzin bo, anything that's underneath the svocha, a woman is allowed to wear it outside. Kol shu malo min asvocha, ein yoitzin bo, anything that's worn above the svocha head covering, she is not allowed to wear outside on Shabbos. So the source shows us that the kovel is kipa shel tzemer because it's part of a rule that Rav Shmuel Elazar is giving. Anything that's under the svocha is the head covering, so that the kovel is something under the svocha that would indicate kipa shel tzemer, the wool head covering, and not the other pshat of kavel diavda. The Gemara asks, "My istama? Istama was mentioned in the source. What is that?" Omar Rabbi Avo, bizuni. My bizuni, well, what's bizuni? Omar Abaye, Omar Rav, Kalyo Fruchi. It's some type of small hair net that helps to gather stray hairs. Tonu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that you can see continues till the next Omid of Gemara, till Nun Ches Omid Aleph at the top line. Shloisha Dvarim Nemru Beistama. We just got finished describing Istama as Kalya Fruchi, so there are three points that are stated in the context of Istama. Number one, Ein Bo Mishum Kilayim. If you have an Istama that's made, let us say, of wool and linen, ordinarily garments are not allowed to be made, and it means made and worn if they're made of wool and linen, but that is only if the wool and linen are woven together. However, the istama is something like felt, which is a material, which is an article of clothing made by compressing fibers. So you would have linen fibers and wool fibers that were compressed into a piece of material. And as such, the isur, the prohibition of kilayim or of shatnez, doesn't apply. Kilayim is a general term for mixing two different elements, and when it comes to clothing, the term shatnez is the kilayim of clothing. Number two, vi'eino mitama b'negoyim, since it's not a piece of woven fabric, so it doesn't absorb the negoyim that afflict clothing, nigei begodim. And number three, vi'ein yoitzin bo l'rishus ram. By the way, the term Negoyim, for those who might not be familiar, is associated with the realm of Tzora'as. Many people are familiar with Tzora'as of the flesh, of skin discoloration, but Tzora'as is something that can affect clothing and, in fact, affect houses as well. So the Istama wouldn't be subject to Tumas Negoyim, because Negoyim is stated only in the context of something that is fibers that are spun and eventually woven together. And number three, the Ein Yotzin Bo L'Rishus HaRabim. A woman should not wear the istama into the Rishus HaRabim. Mishum Rav Shimon Amru, in the name of Rav Shimon it was said, Af, here we're at the top of Nun Chesam Af, Ein Bo Mishum Atros Kalos. Atros Kalos is a reference to a rabbinic restriction regarding different articles of clothing and jewelry that were forbidden after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So this source is telling us that the istama was not included in that restriction, so that women even today are allowed to wear the istama, and it's not a problem of the gzera of Atros Kalos. Ushmuel Omar, now since we have a triangle here and you see a number two, we understand he's a second opinion as to what kovel that the Mishnah mentioned that a woman is not allowed to wear out to the Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos. So Shmuel Omar Kavlo de Avdo Tnan. The Mishnah which says, Lo Al Teitze with the Kavlo, kovel, it's the servant seal, the seal indicating that someone is a servant. Umi Omar Shmuel Hochi, would Shmuel have said that it's forbidden? The Omar Shmuel, Yoitse Ho'evid B'choisim Shibitzavoro, Avolo B'choisim Shibitzuso. Shmuel has a leniency when it comes to a servant seal. If it's worn on his neck, it was made of clay, it didn't have any inherent significance in terms of material value, and as such an Eved is allowed to wear that. Lo kashya. So we have to resolve as far as what seems to be an inconsistency in Shmuel, where on the one hand he is explaining the Mishnah, which presents a restriction with regard to the Kavu d'Avdo, and here he's saying it's okay, no problem. Ha da'ovad le rabbe, ha da'ovad ihu l'nafshe. If the master made it, that's the leniency that Shmuel mentioned. The master made it for him. The servant would have a fear of the master spotting him without it. So he's not going to take it off his neck and walk with it in his hands. So there he has a major fear, or and hence a deterrent for removing it. And therefore there's no Shabbos problem, no anticipated Shabbos problem. However, if he made it for himself, so then there is the possibility that he'll take it off and walk with it on in the Rishus HaRabim. B'mai ukimto l'ha de Shmuel. So how did we establish Shmuel's leniency of his permission for the Eved to Yotze B'chosim? De Avad le Rabbe. Well, it's we said that his master made it for him. B'chosim shibiksusu amaylo. So why in the Bay's halacha of Shmuel, just three lines up, he said he cannot go out with the choisem shebiksusa, the seal that's attached to his garment. If the master made it, he's not going to take it off. Would he not be afraid that the master will see him without it? The Gemara answers. You'll have to note that this is a long answer. The Tuf, which is a teretz, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dash line, indicates you need to learn all of these lines in order to skip the full picture of the answer. So you'll ask, why b'choisin shebiksuso, even though the master made it, is it forbidden to be worn out into Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos? Answer, dilmo mifsik. It might get detached. U'mirtas, and the servant will be fearful that the master will see him wearing his jacket without the seal that the master made. And as a result of this fear, umikbo lay, the Eved, the servant, will take off his garment and fold it up, umochis lay a kasve, and fold it up and place it on his shoulder, so that if he encounters the master won't notice that part of the garment where the seal is, because the garment is now folded up and the Eved is carrying it on his shoulder. The Kiddur of Yitzhak Bar Yosef, and the restriction here is in accordance with Rav Yitzchok's teaching. De'om Rav Yitzchok bar Yosef, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Hayoytze betalis, mekupelis umunachas lo al ksef, of a person who walks out with a garment folded and resting on one's shoulder, b'Shabbos, on Shabbos, that's not called wearing it, that's called carrying it, and therefore chayav chatos. And therefore, if he does so unwittingly, he will be chayav to bring a sin offering, indicating we're dealing with a Torah level violation. V'chi ha d'yomar le Shmuel Rav Chinuno bar Shilo. And this is in accordance with that which Rav Shmuel said to Rav Chinuno, or that which Shmuel said to Rav Chinuno. What did he say? Kulu rabbonan de beresh gulu, so lo lifku besarbali chasimi. All the rabbis associated with the Reish Galusa institution, they are under his control, and it was common, and Rashi points this out, that the rabbis who were subservient to the Reish Galusa also, like in the case of servants, they too had seals attached to their garments, indicating that they were beholden to the Reish Galusa. So all the Rabbonan that were in that position were not to wear their jackets with these seals on them. Labar minoch, with you as an exception, you as Rav Chinuno, the lokapti olecho de Reish Galusa, the Reish Galusa, the exilarch, if he were to notice you without the seal, he wouldn't get upset. So you wouldn't be afraid even though the worst case scenario that the Reish Galusa seal fell off your jacket, you would continue wearing your jacket and not take it off and fold it up because of the fear that we described before. And hence, you are an exception, but in general, people who are servants or subservient to some other force, and hence wear seals that indicate their subservience, they are not to wear garments with these seals while going out into the Rishus Rabbah. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.